Welcome to another episode of Fuck Your Feelings. I'm your host, Brunson. Got the crew on the line, ready to talk some good shit to y'all this week. The boy Keenan, what's up, though?
What up, though?
Karen, how you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good. How about you?
Not too bad. The wonderful Lake, how you doing, Miss Lake?
Yo, what's going on, y'all?
And, you know, Smitty.
I'm on.
What's going on, Smitty?
Nothing.
All right. So y'all been feeling good? Everybody good this week? Y'all mentals is straight with everything going on?
I'm good.
You know, I'm gonna be honest. Who muted me?
Nobody.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I was really mad yesterday. Like this whole Atlanta thing. I'm like, the cops are just like fucking dumb. Wow. So
what happened? Because I was out all day yesterday, and then I didn't really catch up. I got in late. What happened?
So they shot another black dude on arm.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. What's his name? I think it was Rashard. You know,
Brooks. Yeah, that's right.
Rashard Brooks. Rest in peace, young brother Rashard Brooks. So from what I seen, he was asleep in a Wendy's line or in the parking lot?
In a drive-through.
He was asleep in the drive-thru. Police was called out. They came, knocked on the window, made him pull over to the side. He do a sobriety test for about 20, 30 minutes. They talk to him. Next thing you know, they saying they're going to put him, you know, they look like they were putting him in handcuffs and arresting him from the video I saw. Another squad car comes in. They decide to arrest him for whatever reason. He looked like he was complying, and then he gets upset. I mean, y'all don't hear no audio, so ain't no telling what was said to him. He gets upset. A struggle ensues. They try to taser him. He wrestling with the two officers. When he breaks free, he has one of the officers' tasers. They try to tase him again, and then when he's running away, they shoot him in the back. I think twice, if I'm not mistaken, the amount of time he was shot in the back. And so killed him. Right in there, and you know, just another one of those incidents of, you know, it didn't take needed deadly force. I mean, he shouldn't even been incarcerated. You know, absolutely, he was resisting arrest and he was fighting, but did it need to be deadly force? And I mean, honestly, we don't really know what happened in the video, whether or not he needed to be even arrested after he did a sobriety test. He took a blood alcohol test. You know, I don't know. I'm not in the profession of knowing how those monitors and things work, but it looked like, you know, everything was good and gone. He'd been talking to him for 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden this happened. And so the people obviously upset by another, you know, black man being killed by the police after, you know, everything's going on.
They burned that Wendy's down.
They burned the Wendy's down.
Okay, yep. So that's one of the biggest issues right there. So somebody's running away and they get shot in the back by a trained professional. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's numerous ways to shoot a person running than in the back. You know,
you could just run after them and get them.
I mean,
what appears happened is he turned around and fired the taser back at the ass.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he fired a taser or they fired something at him first. Like, I couldn't tell if that was him getting shot or him firing the taser. But he did have a taser. Not by all means, he did have a taser.
But it's a non-lethal weapon, so you technically are unarmed.
He is non-lethal, and he was fleeing. So your fight or flight is no more in peril because he was fleeing.
Right.
But not to mention, his car was there, and you just woke him up, so you know where to find me. Like, he coming back and get his shit. So, again, it was in comparison. See, I seen the video in comparison with another video of a white guy was being
hit the police car.
He ended up chasing the officer, and the officer was running scared.
Running away and shit.
And so it just was like, wait, what?
Right.
And so then you go to the black dude, and it's just like, all right, he gets shot in the back. So, rest in peace, Rashard Brooks. Just another sense of this. Senseless killing that didn't need to go that far. And so, yeah, you know, the people took, now I don't even want to say the protesters, because I seen something that said it wasn't the protesters. It was some Caucasian woman who was upset, and she was posting videos on her Instagram talking about she was the one that burned it down. So,
okay.
So it wasn't nothing to do with the protesters, or I'm not sure how many black people were involved, if any, but it looked like that was just the white person that burned it down, and they were upset. So Well, you know, obviously more to come, but they did burn that Wendy's down, especially since, you know, Wendy's took backfire when all this happened because they were allegedly donating to Trump and, you know, the other campaigns, and, you know, people was upset about that. Even though Wendy's did come out and say that was a franchisee that did that, not so much as the owner. So, but yeah. So, but your thoughts, I mean, you know, before we get into the topic, what's y'all thoughts and feelings about this?
Well, I think it's kind of sad when Ken asked what was going on. We're just like, hey, another black dude got shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's becoming almost way too normal, you know, and we have people trying to help us on our behalf, burning shit down, because at the end of the day, it's going to become about the black dude that got shot and how black people went crazy, no matter how loud the white woman screams that she's the one that burned it down, you know? So it's a vicious cycle. We still trying to peacefully protest on George Floyd, and now it's like the fire. It's like somebody is just agitating the fire, just throwing more gasoline to make sure that the point doesn't get across. So I don't know. It's fucked up. Another black dude got shot. Rest in peace.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally understand. Anybody else want to, you know, say a little something about it?
I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. It's going to constantly happen over and over again. History repeats itself over and over again. I mean, I don't know what else more to say about it. I mean, it's just, it's going to keep on happening until things are actually changing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Kenny, what about you? You got anything you want to say? Or?
I mean, this, I just don't understand it. You know, like, he's running, you know, this is not the first time there's been a black man running and you get shot in the back. You know, I mean, if it was a white person, they would have run, tackled him. You know, they would have caught him. You know, if he had a gun and was shooting back at them, that's the only way that I would understand why they shot my mans. If he had a gun and was busting back at him, but he didn't have it. So,
I mean, he didn't have a taser, though.
But they know what weapon they know the weapon he had. You know, so they can't even use that as an excuse. You know, usually, they reached in their pocket. I thought it was a gun. But this time, they knew he had their taser. So what is the excuse now?
The prosecutor saying that it's unacceptable and charges should be coming next week.
Oh, well, isn't that good?
Just next week? It happened yesterday? We got to wait until next week?
Friday night.
Happened on Friday night. So
somebody they don't press charges on you until the weekend's over. I'm just asking because
not that I ever aware of. No, that shit usually, you know, they arrest you and hold you in for a minute until they finish the charging. Now they may not actually charge you officially. They may detain you up to 48 hours, which is their right to do.
They don't even go through no bail hearing.
No. So
you'll never see them arraigned or nothing. Like they don't do the perp walk or nothing.
Nothing. I actually saw mug shots, and we about to go into that. So this is our first topic. So how do y'all feel about the new follow-up charges against the officers? And so at this point in the George Floyd shooting, if you aren't aware, all four officers who were involved in that incident happened on June the 1st, am I right, Smitty? Was June the 1st that incident happened? All four of those officers are now incarcerated and being charged with different degrees of criminal activity. I think the Derek Chauvin, I believe he's charged with first degree murder. And then the other gentlemen are being charged with second degree murder. But I'm not exactly sure all the charges. I know it was second degree murder, but there were some other charges. And then
second degree is for Dave. From the guy who killed him.
Right, Derek was second degree?
And manslaughter or something. He got two charges.
Okay.
And then I'm not sure what they have.
Well, so in light of that, and then just what we were previously discussing in regards to Rashard Brooks and the prosecutor saying charges may be coming to follow within the next week or so, what are y'all feelings in regards to, you know, just the follow-up charges and just are we starting to see a new president of change when it comes to these officers shooting unarmed black men or innocent black men. So let's start off with you, Lake. Lake, what's your thoughts?
Well, my answer is going to be no, we're not seeing a change. We've seen a shift in this particular case. Because if memory serves me correct, they started off with third degree murder charges, you know, and then we started acting a fool and they couldn't hold that. We was not going to allow them to get away with charging him third degree murder and letting the other guys off, you know, so they shifted these charges in this one particular case because the world was listening. Is the world going to listen for Rashad, if that's his name, correct, in Atlanta? I don't know, because we got our heads up our asses right now. We still in the midst of this particular case. And I don't believe when it happens again, they're going to be, a police officer is going to be charged the way the average person, black or white, would be charged if they senselessly took somebody's life. I just think they had to make a point. This is a point case. But then I also seen that he's still eligible to get pensions, and we could get into the financials of this at a different time. You know, maybe that's a different conversation, but he's not going to be penalized like the normal person will be penalized if found guilty, because we still don't know what the verdict is going to be. We waiting.
This is true. This is true. Kingdom, what are your thoughts? So, like, do you feel we will see justice for George Floyd? Do you feel like, what do you just feel like if they are convicted of lesser charges? Like, what are your thoughts in regards to that? Do you feel like we'll see justice for George Floyd? And do you see a turning point in the killing of unarmed black men?
I'll see change, and I'll say it's a change once they're convicted. You know, I mean, it's not the first time that you know, they brought cops in and they put them on trial and they get let go, they get acquitted. You know, Rodney King, Malice Green. I mean, damn near everybody. I mean, when has an officer been convicted? I want to say it has occurred, but it's like rare, like once or twice, you know. So it'll be a change once we see a conviction. I think once a conviction is made, as long as it's fair, like don't say, oh, we're going to, you know, give them, you know, this a slap on the wrist, give them a, you know, a reduced time because they're a police officer. No, give them the full time, like, you know, if they were a normal citizen. Once, if that happens, then I think it'd be a change, because then police would be afraid. And I think they'd be like, you know what, if it's a real risk of me going to jail in there, you know, I'm not, you know, they're not going to have my back, then maybe I need to, you know, straighten up. That's common sense in common. But I would, to me, you would think, you know, if they're cracking down, I need to, you know what I'm saying, get my shit together.
Right.
But I don't know if we're going to see justice. I don't know. You know, I don't have my hopes. I'm just seeing, you know, this is a lot different, you know, this time around, from what we've seen in the past. But, you know, you just got to wait and see. I don't have my hopes up. I know if they don't convict now, they're going to fuck shit up. It's going to be worse. Yeah. I tell you, it's going to be worse. I just, you know, my thing is, man, just go out to the areas that's doing this. Don't fuck up your own shit. Go out, march, and go out to fucking Farmington and fuck that bitch up. Fuck up Bloomfield. That's how you get their attention. Don't fuck up your own shit. Like, I thought that shit was stupid. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to fuck up the target that's in your hood. So, you know, like, you know, I grew up with my great-grandma and grandma. They got to go to the grocery store. You know, I grew up with all women. They ain't all drive, so they would appreciate some shit like that in the hood. You know, go and fuck up they shit. That's a wake-up call. It's just going to leave you stuck with nothing when it's all said and done, like they did in Detroit in the 60s. So.
Yeah, but I mean, keep in mind, the 60s in Detroit wasn't just black people. That was white people starting shit in Detroit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a mixture of fucking shit up. And I used to live in Farmington. Don't be advertising that shit. I got a really nice Target that was down the street from my house 5 minutes. Don't be bringing that bullshit to where I used to live.
Just saying,
they ain't even know Targets in the hood. So I ain't even.
Smitty, you was about to say something. And what's your thoughts? Say what you about to say, then give us your thoughts, especially with this. If they don't face charges, like, do you feel this shit will be worse? Do you think the protesting will be, will it turn into more than just peaceful protests?
So I have two thoughts, right? One is the officers are all been, they're all going up for second degree murder, right? And this and second degree manslaughter. Okay. What my thought is, I don't think you should trump up the charges. I think you should go for what you can prove, right? Like, I think the conviction is more important than the charge itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you gonna charge somebody with second degree murder, right? Like, okay, yeah, we all may believe that, but honestly, can we prove that? Like, can we have a jury based on the law and the rule? Can a jury really say, I'm gonna send him up for second degree murder for whatever it is, whatever the cops did, right? I think that's where we lose, right? Where they put these high end charges on these police officers because they want to satisfy the public's outrage and say, well, we got to have the charges fit the public outrage. But we got to be more inclined to say we want the ass convicted, right? And we want you to lose all perks and privileges come with your conviction, because if I go down for murder or something like that, State Farm isn't gonna pay me my fucking pension. They got a clause in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not gonna give you. You know, there are certain things that you need to really feel the penalty from your crime, right? It needs to be real harsh. And if you go through these convictions, you need to hurt people where their pockets are, not where it makes good press and good headlines. Cops charged with second degree murder, right? That's a good headline. Well, you know, cop loses his pension because he was convicted is the best headline. You know, like that's what we need to go for. And so that's my thought. Let's start getting these convictions and start letting people lose their pension and start hurting these people at their pocketbook so they start making better decisions. Because at the end of the day, when you hurt somebody's family, like you say, hey, wife can't get no pension, wife ain't get no money, they start to think about when they pull that trigger, like, ooh, my wife is not going to be able to get no money. So I'm going to be thoughtful, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying, I'm going to side with the police. Like, there is times where you approach a situation where you need to use deadly force, but if you already got the guy on the ground, he had been frisked already because you was about to cuff him. You know what I'm saying? So you don't need to do anything extra. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we go back, we can go back to Fruitvale Station, right? Where the cops had him down on the ground and they shot him in the back.
Handcuffed.
Why was you even trying to tase him? He was already arrested. They trigger happy. No matter what the trigger is, they trigger happy. They want to tase people or shoot people or use non-lethal rubber bullets. They just trigger happy. I just want to pull the trigger. And we need to really start to let them pull that thought process out. So we all had that thought process where you know, you'd be like, well, if I'm gonna do A or B. Right. If I do A, my family's fucked. I do B, you know, I'm gonna probably walk away. You know, it's gonna be one of those things where the criminal got away. I'm gonna find him another time. Right. I got his car, got his ID, whatever I need to get. You know what I'm saying? Is it worth you chasing? Like, even when we talk about like police chases, right? Like, why are we chasing these people? you set up these roadblocks. You know, let's start to use different tactics to catch people. Let's do real police work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be hiding in their mama attic. So get them when they're hiding in their mama attic.
That's funny.
I agree.
I'm hiding in my money and think the shit real funny. Shout out to Mr. Big. Take that shit to trial. All right. I agree, Smitty. So let me ask all y'all this, and then we can move on to our next topic, which is, what are y'all thoughts and the feelings in regards to just different cities and states starting to look into defunding their police departments? What are some of your thoughts? Do you feel like this is a good thing? Do you feel like it's a bad thing? Like, you know, I have my reservations on it, or, you know, I have my thoughts. I don't know if I'm completely with defunding the police without a cause or an agenda behind it that is for the community and the people. So if you're taking away dollars from the police, especially these slush funds to help pay out police brutality and pay out just wrongful convictions and these things, then you're taking that money and starting up, I don't know, like community centers or mental health centers in the community with social workers, or, you know, just having a change in the community to help people with these different avenues of or different problems they face with every day, like anger or your lack of resources, lack of jobs, lack of education. So if you're taking the money to do those things, then, you know, fine. If you're taking the money to boost something else, or, you know, to line the pockets of other people, I'm not with that. You know, I know the police force is strapped as much as it is anyway. So yeah, so just let me know your thoughts in regards to the defunding of the police. Karen, I'm gonna go with you.
For sure. I think that the word defunding really throws a lot of people off. I think they need to change that word in a sense of when they're addressing this situation. I think they should maybe, I heard on a podcast, it's more like defunding makes people think that, you know, you're just taking away and you're not really putting a destination to it. If you say like reallocating or moving these funds to help the community, and like you said, have a reason behind it. So like not just say, well, we're defunding the police. It's more like, no, we're going to reallocate all the funds that went to the police, and we're going to reallocate that to the community. And we're going to find a way to bridge the gap between the police and the community. Make it two ways so that both sides aren't going to be in such disagreement that they're just going to be battling, and it's going to take years upon years just to get something done, when all we needed to say was we reallocating it so we can make sure that you guys aren't doing too much of your job that you don't have to do. And then we reallocating funds to put it toward the community so that you guys don't have to do so much. So I think that it would help and it would be really good, but it's I don't know how much it's going to work. It's always that one test subject, and then it sometimes works out and sometimes it doesn't. And then they have to try it again. But then sometimes people don't like trying it again if it fails the first time, and they're really scared about trying it and working it. But you know what? Our communities have been failing over and over and over again, and the things that they have been trying aren't working.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Keenan, late in this meeting. So, Keenan, what's your thoughts?
I think that the police should keep whatever money they have. I think that a plan needs to be put in place to revamp all police departments. Everybody needs to be vetted. They need to, you know, be more selective of who they allow, do more of a thorough background check. Something needs to be done. We need policing, but we need good policing. You know, something has to change. You know, I don't think everybody should own a gun. Not everybody is responsible enough to own a gun. It's the same thing for a police officer. You know, that's a responsibility. You know, I just think it needs to be revamped totally from like the ground up. It needs to be an improvement and get these racist motherfuckers out here. If you're not in it to be a help, you need to get up out of here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Late, what's your thoughts?
Well, I kind of want to go back to something we talked about on the last episode of retraining and how the police officers are put back into the communities. You know, maybe that money can be used to give incentives for them to move back into the cities that they supposed to be policing, or maybe training, mental health training, you know. Because I do believe going into this, a lot of officers need therapy before they even start the role of police academy, because a lot of cats I know was the little jerky kid in high school that decided that he wanted to become a cop. And those are the ones that really fuck up, and they fuck it up for those who really want to be good protectors. But if we're not giving tax breaks, especially like here in the city of Detroit, giving tax breaks, helping them find good housing and things of that nature, then they're going to constantly want to be outside of the community, and they don't have any connection with the community. And that is a big problem for me. Now, I don't know about everybody else with this defunding shit, but I know as soon as something go away at my house, I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling the police. You know what I mean? So you people can believe what they want to believe, but we do need an authoritative party to come in and make sure that things are kept copacetic in the neighborhoods, period. People need to have that fear in place, which is why, you know, refunding, you know, instead of defunding is, I think, a better term to use, you know, reallocation. And when Smitty was talking about the pension, you know, there in Minnesota, they still get their pensions, even if they're convicted, you know. So maybe that money that he invested into his pension should be thrown back into the police department instead of going back into his family's pockets, because the two that's been on the force, they're eligible for almost $1 million over 30 years, even when being convicted. You know, that money could do some good to the police departments, you know, and also have people rethink their actions when in terms of their family or their community. So I'm still on this thing. You know, we need to get I want to live next to the cops. I want them back into my city, you know, and maybe if we start there, we'll get better action, better results, I should say.
Gotcha. Smitty, take us home.
So I just want to tell you that defunding police is probably not the best approach. Camden, New Jersey tried that, and that's a case study. And they were one of the worst cities for American crime, you know. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of put you in perspective, when they hired 100 officers, the crime rate went from 100% to 50. So just having police presence is definitely very important. I think that we need to start looking at other countries and how they do their policing, because I just seen a statistic that was really interesting to me. In the last 24 years, England and Wales killed 24 people were killed by the police in 24. I mean, no, 55 people were killed by the police in 24 years. In the U.S., in the first few months of 2015, 59 people were killed. Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting. That I know that the police in London and stuff like that do not carry weapons, because they don't have the same like freedom to bear arms as we do, right? But but the fact is that they still carry a knife. Like they can still cut some people. They have to call out an armed response unit to handle threatening situations. And I just think we need to, I'm not saying England is a rule or England should be what we should be looking towards, but I'm just saying that we need to start looking at other cities and other countries and see how that they do policing and do a better job of like taking best practices and improving our police department. I think that one of the things that we definitely have to do, and I think Real Lake is when, they need to have a psychological evaluation. Like sometimes we just take any old body, right? Like there's a lot of ex-military folks that are police officers, and we know a lot of times that they'd have post-traumatic stress syndrome and things like that, and they just become police officers, and they back in that, like they come right from Afghanistan and get right into law enforcement, and there's no psychological talks or anything like that. And then police do see a psychiatrist after they shoot someone, but they need to see them before they get hired. They should do some mental, like the hiring practices of some companies are more stringent than the hiring practices of the police. You know, we have all applied for jobs, and you like, why are you asking me these? We're trying to see if you meet our culture, right? Like there's a lot of that, and I don't think the police department really goes through that. They need, it's kind of like this thought: I need bodies in seats. You know, I need a body to sit in this car because we don't have anybody applying for the police department. Well, we need to have a better practice. Make it a tough, like make it tough to be a police officer. Make it more prestigious. Do some things around the police department that say, when you're a police officer, you take this job seriously, and we're not going to, we, there's no more BS about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just become a police officer because we need bodies and seats. Let's be really strategic on the officers that we hire and who have compassion. Compassionate policing is very key to this whole crisis.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel that, and you're right to me, like, different countries have, like, just way less police-involved deaths. I mean, I think New Zealand hasn't had one in I don't know how long, right? Like, and it's just surprising to see that, you know, these other countries have, you know, gotten it, or, you know, gotten it right, right? Like, they don't seem to have some as many violent occurrences in their nations as much as the U.S. have for police department. And I also agree to me that, you know, I'm not really sure how long you stay in the academy, but to me, you should be at least a year before you're able to be on your own, or you know, being, you know, you should be on probation for a year as a as an officer. And maybe you are. Maybe I just, it could be my ignorance, but I think it should be a lot more into it. Like, you should have to go back psych checks, and it should be every 90 days that you do a psych eval. Hell, you need to do a CAT scan. I need to see your brain waves and patterns to make sure you ain't, you know, ain't no lesions in your frontal cortex and none of that shit. Like, I need, if you're going to be out here, you need to be able to know that you should handle and be able to de-escalate high-value situations. I think another thing is that, you know, I read the article, and I'm not sure where I got it from, where it was like, you know, maybe we should stop asking the police to do as much as we ask the police to do. Maybe the police should truly be violence workers, right? Like, they should be there to respond to the violent situations that occur, or stopping crime, and not so much of being, I mean, you know, they're, you know, essentially social workers and domestic violence counselors and mental health counselors, and they're asked to do a lot. So maybe what needs to be in the community, and I know different initiative, and I know Chicago, here in Chicago, they different wards and different areas are starting to do their community policing, where they're have their own offices set up within the community. That's where you go for all your first responder needs. Yeah, obviously, if it gets to be too big, you need to go to the precinct. But these 5 or 6 officers is going to be in your community. They're going to walk the beat. They're going to know you. Bringing that back, that kind of familiarity helps to de-escalate certain situations, especially if you know little Johnny since he was 10 and now he's 19, and you know he a B&E artist, and you haven't seen him coming out of a situation. Maybe you can say, hey, this don't call for violence. Johnny, I know you played on my pal league. What's going on? You can bring him in a lot smoother. So, obviously, it is a very difficult job being a police officer. I wouldn't want to be a police officer. Obviously, I don't have that kind of courage. I'm not the person that's running towards fire when shit burning. I'm running the opposite direction. Although I did, as a CPS worker, have a cop say, I don't know how you do your job without a gun. I was like, man, you get shot at for a living. So, hey, go figure, right? You know, just things like that. So I know it's tough. I'm just with y'all. I don't know if defunding is totally the right answer. So thank y'all for everybody for your opinion. So we're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic. I know we was on that one for a minute. And so in the next topic, we're going to discuss everybody's best friend, the true Negro of us all, Candace Owens. If you have not seen the video from Candace Owens, Miss Owens had about a, I don't know, 20-minute diatribe about how George Floyd is not a martyr and black people should stop making him a martyr, and that the reason why black people are down and the way we are is because we decide to immoralize our criminal activity. We seem to always want to play to the bottom of the barrel in regards to our culture. So I'm not sure how many of y'all actually seen the video. Let me know if you've seen it, if you haven't. But just let me get your thoughts on it as a whole. So, Lake, I'm going to start off with you.
Well, I was shocked and appalled at this silly rabbit. You know, just like before you guys, we got on air and you guys was telling me about bro code. You know what I mean? This bitch done gave up all the rules to black code. You know what I mean? Like, certain conversations you're supposed to have at the dinner table with your people, and you're just not supposed to say amongst others. And she did all that. You know, I'm almost upset at myself for giving her the time to listen, because that just gave her more likes and following than a reason for us to converse about this stupid bitch. You know what I mean? It was a total setup for white America to say, see, we told y'all, that's exactly what we saying. And finally, they have somebody smart enough to tell them what we've been saying all this time. You know what I mean? She should have let somebody else get up there and say that shit. You know what I'm saying? Leave that for Karen. That was Karen talk that she did. And I don't want to get into her background as far as like marital status and all that, because it really shouldn't play a factor. But then it kind of feel like, okay, so since you sleeping with a white man, you gonna get your black ass up here and play house nigga for real, homegirl for real. You know, like if we were 1-1 at the time of her having that conversation and speech, it would have turned into a fist fight. Because I was appalled and offended. And the fact that she made the topic about him and the things that he did was even, it was worse to me than just don't say shit at all. You know what I mean? We know bad people do bad things, but the point was that this man shouldn't have lost his life in the way that he did. And the fact that she said what she said, and then she tried to clean it up by keep saying, well, I understand he shouldn't have died. No, what we understand is you shouldn't be fucking saying what's the words that's coming out of your mouth right now. Now is not the time, because he shouldn't have died. And his background shouldn't play a factor right now. You know what I mean? This is a human being, you know, period. It don't matter what I don't give a fuck what he did up until that point. That knee was on his neck, you know, and she made it seem as though all of us as black people are so undereducated that we just want to make this man a martyr. That's not the case. And she wanted to take away the reason why everybody is walking and protesting. That's not the case. Not because he fucking had, we know he had counterfeit 20s. We know he was doing shit that he wasn't supposed to do. We know all that shit. But at the end of the day, he didn't even get a chance to repent for his wrongdoings, because somebody decided that they wanted to take him out before. And this broad gonna get up there and speak on behalf of us, because those are the fucking Sambo Negroes that the white man want to listen to. So I'm truly heated and offended.
I definitely understand. I definitely, you know, like I said, I feel you. I was, yeah, watching that video, it was heartbreaking. It was definitely heartbreaking, especially coming from a person who, you know, in her own right has sued people in the past for racism that she's experienced. So just to have her talk and the way she was speaking and the way, I mean, a lot of the things she said, I mean, this woman was by far the vilest, you know, the vilest of the foulest that I've seen. Sometimes I agree with her points. And even in these things, she wasn't missing some points. It just, man, especially on the day of a man's funeral, just wow. So real quick, I am going to, Smitty, you want to play it just to cut in? I don't know what that means. Take your phone off, Mike. Mute. Speak to me, nigga. Oh, my bad.
He can't hear. Two strings.
I'll play a little bit of her, what she said.
Okay.
She suddenly became an exemplary character, but happened to be high on fentanyl and methamphetamine, and trying to use a bill, a fake bill, to purchase something. And so, in my opinion, George Floyd was a criminal. He was a criminal. And just because he was a criminal doesn't mean he deserved to die at the knee of a police officer. But it does mean that I am not going to play a part of the broken black culture that always wants to martyr criminals, who wants to pretend they were these upstanding human beings that just wanted to help society, that just wanted to reach out and uplift society. And he has a rap sheet that is long, that is dangerous. He was an example of a violent criminal his entire life. Okay, up until the very last moment. Now, again, I want to be clear. This is not a defense for Derek Chauvin. No one that I have spoken to, no one in the news is defending Derek Chauvin. He is getting what he has coming to him. Okay, great. But why are we pretending that this criminal should be upheld as a citizen, as a martyr in Black America? A martyr for a fake narrative, by the way. Police brutality, racially motivated police brutality is a myth. Okay, so let's get into that. Not only are we using this death, right, and allowing it to cause these riots and protests, pretending this was some upstanding citizen in the Black community who was tackled down and killed for no reason, right? Not only are we allowing it to inspire riots in which Black people are dying, in which actual upstanding Black citizens are dying. Case in point, I'm sure you guys have all now seen David, the sheriff that just was shot and killed because he was trying to protect a pawn shop. Please look him up if you haven't seen it. I'm blanking on his last name. His first name is David, who was shot and killed for trying to protect a pawn shop from looters. An upstanding citizen, an actual head of a police. He was the head of a police his entire life, 77 years old, did everything right, right? So we now have to kill upstanding Black citizens because a non-upstanding Black citizen, a career Black criminal, died. Now, did he deserve to die in that manner? No. I can't say it enough. No, he didn't deserve to die in that manner. But I will be damned if the rest of us upstanding Black citizens have to suffer because of this incident that rarely ever happens in America. So here are some numbers for you people that are still believing that police brutality is a real, racially motivated police brutality is a real thing. First and foremost, okay, you have a 25% higher chance as a violent white criminal of dying at the hands of a police officer than you do as a Black criminal. Last year, a total of 9 unarmed black men were killed by police officers, and 19 white men were killed by police officers. For those of you that aren't good at mathematics, right, you might be thinking, oh, but Candace, white people represent 60% of the population, and Black people represent just 13% of the population. It doesn't matter what percentage of the population you represent, it matters what percentage of the violent criminal community you represent. And unfortunately, Black community commits a disproportionate amount of crimes compared to the white community. Let me tell you, 6% of the population, right, Black men, 6% of the population account for 44% of all murders in this country, according to 2018 statistics. That is what you call a gap. And yet white people who represent 60% of the population, we represent 13%, Black men are 6%, only represent 50% of all the murders, right? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. A 6-point variation.
That was just a little bit of what Candace Owens said. She gave some statistics at the end and whatnot. So,
give us your thoughts, Mini. Go ahead.
So, for me, you know, I think that she has lost reality a little bit. I think there's some things that she legitimately could argue if she was on our side, on the side of Black people. But I can't agree with everything she said. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that we come from a position of underdogness, right? So we are underdog. We have been underdogs all our life. And we're going to continue to root for the underdog, right? It doesn't matter who is being killed by the police. It's the police is killing people in general. And this is rooted in slavery, right? Like, the police, in my opinion, are just another version of the slave traders and the people who were the bounty hunters that went out and killed or captured slaves when they ran away. And it's not an equal fair share of things, right? It's just not equal. Like, a white man can cuss the police out and walk and does not feel like he's not going to walk away and go home, right? He's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, every time we get pulled over, every time, I don't know if this bitch ever been pulled over or not, but every time you get pulled over, you don't know if you're going to make it home. Like, you don't know. Like, I'm going to tell you this, right? The police, I wasn't even doing nothing yesterday. And the police, so I seen a cop in front of me, and he had turned his lights on, he was going after someone. There was a police behind me, and he was about to turn left. And then he turned his lights on and got behind me, right? So, you know, I panicked, right? Like, I didn't know what to do. Like, he wasn't coming. He wasn't pulling me over. He was trying to go help. He was going to go with his buddy. But I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I said, he just turned his lights on. So the fact is that they have this put this fear in us. You know what I'm saying? We were caged. And so when things happen on this level, you know what I'm saying? It don't matter who it is. I don't care if George Floyd was an upstanding citizen or he was the epitome of the earth. He does not deserve to be his neck to be kneed on for that time seconds. To kill him. You know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely not. And it don't matter what statistics you throw at me. You can 13% of your population, you cannot just go around shooting them. Regardless of whatever they did, right? A lot of times it's never we're not complaining that these people aren't like these people are armed and shooting them. They're unarmed and being shot at, like completely defenseless. Sometimes they're handcuffed. They're being choked out. They're being choked out, tased, shot, handcuffed. You know what I'm saying? You know, like certain things. And then what's really interesting to me is they have freaking names for these tactics. They have names for these tactics, you know what I'm saying? That's just, like, you shouldn't even have a name for this. These things should be rare, where you like, shit, he grabbed him by the neck. I don't know what it's called. Now, we have a defensive chokehold. He put him in a defensive chokehold. And done right, it should put you down to restrain you. Why do we even have something called a defensive chokehold?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree, Smitty. I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a loss for words. So let me get in there for me. Yeah, okay. So, well, here, before you get started, King, let me just ask you this. Do you agree with some of her points? Do you feel like police brutality don't exist, or is that made up? And do you feel like it's right for us to call Candace Owens Uncle Tom or a political pawn for the Republicans? Just let me know your thoughts, Keenan.
All right. So I do agree with very few of her points. He's not a martyr. A martyr is someone that dies because of their beliefs. I think he's a trigger of unjust. You know, it's been, you know, we've seen it so much. And it's just like, you know, you get fed up. And his death serve for that, a change. You know, something's going to happen. You know, bad or good, something is going to happen. You know, so yeah, he's not a martyr. She's a pawn. Yeah, certain. I believe it. You know, her focus should be on this wasn't right. Police shouldn't be doing this. You talking about his rap sheet and all of this. It doesn't matter. You know, if he has a rap sheet, then you arrest the nigga and add another, you know, line on that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You don't kill him. You know what I'm saying? Now, if he had a gun, if he was a threat, then, yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? But he's on the ground. It was no need for that. He's handcuffed. There's no need for that. You know what I'm saying? So that's where her focus should have been. Yeah. What was the other question, Courtney?
Well, do you just believe do you believe that police brutality does it exist? Do you think that's a myth? Do you?
It exists. It exists. I mean, you know, we got four black males on the phone. You know, police pull up behind you. You don't think, you know, I'm safe. You know, you like, oh shit, you're not doing nothing wrong. You know, you just got a fear. You know what I'm saying? And It's like that for a reason. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure we've all had that talk. Where, you know, we're told how you deal with police and this and that. And, you know, don't ride 3D. A nigga John used to tell me when I was 16, don't ride 3D. A passenger and one nigga in the back and that's it. And he was a Wayne County sheriff, retired, you know, in the 60s. And he was like, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, you taught that. White boys could be in that bitch piled up high. No worries. Drunk in a motherfucker. So, yeah, it exists for real. It's for a reason.
Okay, thank you, sir. And Kieran, what's your thoughts?
Certainly, as far as Candace Owens, I believe that she was that kid on the playground that always wanted attention, that thought they was the smartest person in the room, and they gonna prove their point no matter what. And they just want to, I mean, you can just hear it in her words. She's using a key point. She knows exactly what she's saying. She knows exactly what she's doing. She's just trying to get that attention because she don't want anybody else to get the attention. She wants to be the one that everybody says, oh, did you hear what she said? Did you hear what she said? And then they're hoping that somebody catches on to what she's saying. And then they say, she was right. They want her. She wants someone to say on national TV, Candace Owens said such and such, and she was right. That's all she wants. That's all they want. They just want attention. So I'm not going to give her attention. She ain't about nothing. Yeah, she can act like she's the smartest person in the world. Smartest person in the world doesn't try to know every single fact in the world. They just try to know how to prove their point. She ain't trying to prove her point. She just trying to know all the facts to just battle anything you're going to say. So it wouldn't even make sense to make a battle with her. As far as police brutality, it certainly does exist. I mean, that's the whole reason behind why they do what they do, to get you scared that once that cop car comes right behind you, that sheriff car comes right behind you, that trooper car comes right. It could even be, you know, you're not speeding, but you still have that fear, and you still have that some automatically just get your hands trembling. You start getting scared. You already trying to come up with an excuse. You're trying to say, oh, is it a valid excuse? Is it going to make sense? They don't understand what I'm talking about. All this stuff. Of course it exists, because if we wouldn't get that feeling, us as black males wouldn't get that feeling. Black people, period, wouldn't get that feeling if it didn't exist. I mean, you can watch Cops all day long. You can see the show Cops. Them people don't care, and they do all types of crazy things. But you, no matter how much you watch it, you still feel at the end of the day, if that car were to pull you over, you saw them lights, you're like, oh man, do I pull over? Is it me? Is it somebody else? Are they trying to go somewhere? Of course brutality exists, because it's the whole function, the whole reasoning behind it is happening, and it's happening now. And it's been happening for years upon years.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your words. And so, yes, I mean, I agree with all of y'all. I mean, I was just driving the other day, and I seen a police car behind me, and knowing I wasn't doing any wrong and stopping all my lights, but I made three turns and he made three turns with me, and my blood pressure instantly, just the adrenaline instantly shot up, because it's like, oh man, what are you about to do now? Like, why are you fucking with me? You know? And I'm pretty much like that. Every time a police car behind me is always to that point. It's like, why are they fucking with me? So thank y'all for y'all words. And yeah, just a tough thing. Hopefully we'll see change, like, you know, like we've been seeing. So with that said, we're going to try to lighten it up a little bit. And I'm going to ask y'all a goofy question, because just trying to change the mood. But I really want to know y'all opinion on this. And so I'm going to start with the light-skinned brother on this one, because, you know, I think he get out the bathtub with all of L.A. on. So real quick, what do y'all prefer is better for black skin? Lotion, cocoa butter? Y'all let me know. So Mr. DeBarge, Kingman, if you don't mind, let me know what your thoughts. Take yourself off mute, light skin. Like, shit just don't work for you because you're light. No, let me stop. Hey, let me stop, people. I'm that colorism bullshit. Let me stop that right now. My bad. I apologize to you, King. Man, go ahead. Say.
You hurt my heart, my nigga. Well, I always recommend my can of butter when you get out of the shower. I have a nice lotion that gets Shameless you just plug. Right. But let me see. I like Lubriderm. Little Jergens. I like shit with Vaseline in it. I don't like to feel oily, you know. So anything with a little Vaseline.
Lubriderm is the worst. Like, if that's just water, you put that shit on.
Oh, that's shit thick, man.
No,
a lot of other shit, man. Look, it's just right for me. It's just right for me, man. You know, but I am a little bit lighter.
Listen, black side. People, don't buy that shit. Don't buy that shit.
I'm old school with a little Lubriderm or Jergens. I can't have heavy, thick shit. Like, really. I feel weighed down.
There's that white skin on you.
All right, here. Jergens. Two strings. Jergens. I know for the audience, when we say two string Smitty, he has some retro OG. Sony headphones, circa 1999. Back that ass up. the cushioning on those bitches are extremely.
Damn, that nigga used Circa on you.
Ouch.
Damn, he said you need to put some of that grandmama plastic on your headphones. Oh shit. Okay.
Cushion on his headband on that bitch.
Smitty. Smitty, what do you like to use, Smitty?
Okay. So I'm gonna go with something real old, like different. I like that Johnson & Johnson baby oil gel. Like that's the shit I love. Like being real, that Johnson & Johnson baby oil gel. That's
Nicky, you 47 using the baby powder smell.
I use the aloe vera one. It ain't got no smell to it. But hey, that lavender.
You lying, dude. That shit smell like new baby ass.
That lavender makes you sleep good, though. That lavender makes you sleep good.
Courtney. You fucking Smitty. Tyler. Smitty be using KY jelly.
Then y'all hope you're not lubing lather in your skin with no KY jelly.
You know, I'll tell you a story. It's not about KY jelly, but I'll tell you a story that happened to my sister. So my sister, I got two stories about like lotion in general that's fucking hilarious. So my sister was using this lotion, what she thought was lotion. And she was just putting it on. She said she was putting it on so much. She was like, I was putting this on all the time. She's like, but it smelled good. And I just couldn't figure out why I wouldn't keep my skin moist, right? Come to find out it was hand sanitizer. Wait.
You ain't dried your fucking skin out and get yourself a whole bath.
Hell yeah.
So some people in my family are really, they buy lotion at the dollar store, right? So my aunt, they bought this lotion at the dollar store and they were putting it on and it was just drying out, you know? Either you got to put, you know, in the dollar store lotion, you got to put a lot on anyway, right?
Yeah.
So come to find out, it wasn't even lotion. It was a conditioner. It was shampoo and conditioner. It was conditioner for the shit. It was conditioner. They were using conditioner to put lotion on.
Oh, hairs.
Mom said she used half the bottle before she knew it was a conditioner.
Hey, but her arm hair was probably permed as hell. This shit was nice and smooth. Had a nice full body sheen and everything.
So like, two things. Don't use hand sanitizer and don't use conditioner.
Right.
One thing. Well, how about the one thing? And reading is fundamental. Like, that's the one thing. Like, what about you? What do you use?
I just want the audience to know that I didn't come up with these questions. That was all dude. Okay, so I have different types of moisturizer that I like to use at different times of the year. So, like a nice shea butter for the winter time. And then when I'm really aching because I walk a lot, so I like to use the shea butter to help with my aches and pains. But I will get up on that Sky Edibles kind of butter to make sure that my aches and pains are so much better. And like I'm with Smitty with the baby powder gel because I like the way it makes my coochie feel. And he missed out on the jacking off part, but I'll say it for him. Like when you get to your private parts, it feels so good where you're using that gel on your punani. And so I'm quite sure that me and him are at the same spot at that. You know, you work yourself up, then you work yourself down. And then when you get to the middle, you pop yourself off. So don't be hating on my dude right there. Don't be hating on my dude. And then for those of you who've been in the hospital, like I had a baby and I had to steal like the lotion because they got the best fucking lotion. And it's like a blend of Vaseline and lotion. And I just found it at Staples and it costs like $18 a tube. But that shit is amazing. So next time somebody have a baby, let's go steal all the lotion from the hospital because it will change your life and your ashy elbows. I mean, we talking to everybody but you, light skin, DeBarge. We're talking about
always stealing shit.
We always stealing shit. So that don't mean I gotta get a knee on my neck.
Listen. I ain't stealing shit if I pay for that hospital bill. I'm a fucking hospital bill. I want all that shit. I want my trays. I want my ice cup. I want my motherfucking breathing apparatus. I want all that shit. My
nurse told me to take all that shit. Like take socks. The diapers. Take it off. Socks. Hey, I got some of the socks on right now. Look. Y'all see that?
It's comfortable as hell, ain't it? Boy, it's like having on house shoe socks. House shoe socks. I got to put light blue.
All right, Karen, what about you? You take us home.
Man, I like juices and berries, man.
All right, so brother number one.
I'm just
one.
Kidding. No. honestly, because I work at a hotel, so whatever lotion they have, I just put that on. I don't even know what kind of
no,
whatever brand it is,
hey,
I put it on.
Hey. Hey, his natural baddie must right now smell like orange citrus.
Victoria's Secret,
yeah,
right
it
now.
Might be. It might be some orange
Victoria's
citrus.
Victoria's Secret.
It might be cool cucumber, or it might be bamboo spruce. I don't know. Whatever the brand is, if it's a Holiday Inn brand, if it's Marriott brand, I don't care. Hey, I just can't look ashy at the front desk.
Oh man.
Get your skin right though.
Exactly.
Hell no, I smell like orange citrus. That shit,
that shit dry out so fast. As soon as you wash your hands, you gotta put some more on.
That shit didn't be gone.
You supposed to wash the lotion off when you wash your hands. That's the thing.
Yes, you do wash. You do listen.
Lotion is still on your fucking hands when you wash your hands.
The lotion I use, I can wash my hands at least a couple good times before I have to like
that's
put
nut.
Lotion back on them bitches.
That's nut. That's not lotion.
I don't think you should be asking about your hands. Oh, that's not awful.
That's an extra lubricant.
So his whole phone right now smell like spittle. See, y'all laughing. Y'all got all y'all got boys on here. Y'all three were boys. Y'all gonna know when y'all walk into that room and it smell like spittle. You be like, oh nigga, really? Really? This is what you're doing?
Or the 30-minute shower?
Mine's already asked for private shower. Time right now in the bathroom.
Well, that's shit, crazy. You know, nobody's gonna love you like you. So
that's what I said. I gave him some baby gel.
Up. Some etiquette, you know. I give towels. I get hand towels. Like, hey, man, just use it and toss it. Don't put this shit in the laundry.
Man, that shit have been washed so many times. Your new polo got dick. You got dick polo. You got teenage dick polo.
He washes his own fucking clothes. So that's all on him, nigga.
It's the same fucking washing machine. You clean that bitch out. You are supposed to clean your washing machine out though. So, all right, people. I won't keep y'all on here any longer. Thank
y'all.
Y'all
are so
y'all.
Silly.
Beautiful points, and yeah, y'all are really silly.
Well, what do you use?
Well, me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to get away with it. He be using.
Nigga, I'm gonna tell y'all a story. Before listen, it's gonna be some fancy shit. It's gonna be some fancy shit. I'm gonna tell y'all a story. So we were going to class. We was late going to class. This nigga's like, I can't go to class. We're like, what are you missing? Your watch? No, I just can't go to class right now. I can't go. I got to go back to the house. This nigga went back to the house to put cologne on. We late.
Yeah, this nigga is like that. He always been like that.
That's why he came up with this question.
Listen. A, yes. B, I used to make, like, you know, now that I got old, I don't have that lotion game. But me and Keenan used to be that lotion that you goddamn, what was that? That Sunshine Riviera mixed in with a little lotion, you know, and with the cologne, had to smell good on.
Let
you know, that's
what I used to do. I used to take a little bit of the Elizabeth Taylor White Diamonds and then layer it with a little Victoria's Secret body spray. Used to have a female zombie. Boy, let me tell you.
So listen, what's me leaving now is that we was going to the dopest professor. Shout out Professor Dag Bovey, but we was going to his class, and I mean, let's just say they was in that class. So you know, I had to smell right. I had to smell, and don't you know how many compliments I got that day in class? Thank you.
All
thank
I
you.
Gotta say is and you were in a relationship.
Why you telling me?
So we're doing out? That for math.
Damn, Smitty was the ops. He the ops. He 12. Candace always put you in here as a spy, didn't she? That bitch. Now, as far as today is, I use Eucerin or baby Eucerin, really, because I got kids and that's what they use. So I use what they use. I don't. Baby
Eucerin. I knew it.
That should be like looking at my motherfucking shit glistening. Nah, I think I'm good.
The only problem you got is twins. That's you need to save that for them. Hey, not Courtney, for you.
I'm going to ask you this, Courtney.
Why? So, that young skin, that shit can recuperate. I need all the help I can get.
Courtney.
What? What's up?
You being a bigger nigga, like me, you know what I'm saying? How quick do you go through a bottle of lotion?
I think I need to go get some right now. This is what I think is
going through them bitches, bro.
And
now I always get the one that say 40% extra on it.
Yeah.
And you're right. I'm like, yeah, give me that a family edition. That's just mine. Listen.
You can't get the regular size. You don't have to be like the 28-ounce bottle. You be like, I need the one with the 40%. And you be mad as hell when you don't got the extra 40% in it.
Look, I'm at that point where I'm about to
go in a pack.
Yeah. I'm at that point where I'm about to take the top off and go like this.
Right. I got a little more in there.
No, wait. Do y'all take the little straw and squeeze and take the lotion off the straw
part? Yeah. And then I hold the bottom of it and let it get some air in there to pump that last bit out.
I am totally embarrassed right now.
Body wash the same thing though.
Body wash too. Although I will say one of my pet peeves is I hate when people, when you get to the last bottle of the hand soap and you fill that shit up with water, I hate that.
I hate that. This detergent. Oh, my granddad used to do that shit all the time. That Palmolive used to be orange. When he got to do it, it'd be white. He'd be like, dang, this is water. That's for the, look, here you go. That's for the flower. I said, I see you wash dishes with it. That's for the flower.
Back in the day, my grandma do it with ketchup. Take water in a ketchup bottle.
What are the ketchup bottle?
Oh man, look, that's old school shit, nigga. Somebody
that's
old.
That's nasty. That's nasty.
I throw up.
I pass on that, dog. I don't want no.
That's like that little extra, soup. That first little skeet of the ketchup, watery and shit.
Oh yeah.
So you want a whole bottle of that?
Yeah, man. Shout out to my homeboy. Who was that? That was NY Carmichael. Shout out to the homie. He was like, yeah, that pre-cum that the ketchup bottle or the mustard bottle make. That shit needs to be on your sandwich.
A nasty shit.
Yeah, that's why I always put it over the sink first. It, though.
You know, it ain't going to stop me from eating it.
Like, I just put some real shit on top of it. Right.
Yeah, just put a little bit extra. Fuck it. We just eat that one last. Yeah. So, all right. Thank y'all goofy ass black people. I appreciate y'all. As always, thank you guys for being on. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to you, Lake, Karen, Keenan, Smitty. Thank y'all for all your beautiful topics, your patience, and then coming on and just expressing how y'all truly feel. Keenan, come on. Give me your spiel, man.
Man, look. I got some new shit coming out.
All right.
A cherry pie bar.
No, you don't.
A strawberry lemonade cookie.
Won't he do it?
Fudge cookie.
Oh,
it's about to go down. Look here, this week it's going down. By the end of the week, I got it all going down. Of course, we got peach cobbler on deck, banana pudding, popcorn. A new popcorn is fire. Had that last Friday, put me on my ass. Come on, Sky_edibles on IG, Sky_edibles on Facebook. If you mention fuck your feelings, I'm giving you 20% off.
Ooh, he upped it. He upped it.
20%.
But it's weak. Let's go.
That make the pussy go,
Yeah, and wait.
Fuck me on that lotion, baby.
Come on now.
And he's talking about that discount.
Free delivery.
And a free delivery. So you get discount, free delivery, and 20% off with the mention of fuck your feelings at Sky_edibles. Thank you. Anybody else? Who else got something? Nobody? Nope.
Oh. Okay. Chris, what is it? Sweet Tea's.
Oh, Sweet Tea Car Wash. Yes. Sweet Tea Car Wash. They're doing the COVID-19 special, still doing disinfecting your cars for you, washing them. They site to your site doing car washes. So Sweet Tea's on Facebook, Instagram. Look them up for the car wash. And I believe you said half off if you hit them. So, all right, y'all. Thank you again.
Can I throw something in there?
Yeah.
I want y'all to subscribe to Live with Lake That's where you get your information about Black-owned businesses. I try to get out there and interview the proprietors and entrepreneurs so we can see their products. I also talk about the products that I use myself because I try my best to buy Black as much as possible. So Live with Lake, you can join the group, Live with Lake on Instagram and on Facebook. So
I'm bringing you a sample, dog. I'm bringing you a sample.
Oh, you need to. Deliver it for free. Yeah. And some cabbage butter.
I want to be featured though. I will bring you a whole package.
I'm gonna feature you. I'm gonna feature the hell out of you. And I want some cabbage butter. Bring that because I got to get that for Dad for Father's Day. It'll be a great Father's Day gift. Hint, hint.
Father's Day next Sunday.
Dad,
I'm gonna have you right on Saturday.
And if you got to get it to them late, you know, it's better late than never, just in case this episode don't air before Father's Day.
No, I got you this week.
Get that.
Bet. All right. Well, thank y'all again. Shout out to Diddy. Shout out to Revolt. Shout out to Spotify. Shout out to Barstool. Who else I'm missing? I don't know. I'm just trying to get signed. Shout out to iHeartRadio. Shout out to Tidal. Look, man, you know, what y'all want me to do? You know, aside for singing and dancing and shucking and jiving, you know, I'm with the shit. So, you know, bring us on. We like to eat. I know y'all like us out there. You know, y'all love us. We out there. So, yeah, please, by all means, you know, listen to the show. So, again, thank you all, you beautiful Black people. And as always, fuck your feelings once.